Yes. I'm thankful to be here, and I'm thankful for Clarence's invitation to share. I admit that I feel especially vulnerable this evening, and I don't know if it's because it's Ash Wednesday and it's the beginning of Lent, possibly, or maybe it's because of what I'm about to share, or all of the above. I hope everybody can hear me okay. Ash Wednesday marks the first day of Lent. And Lent is the period when we remember Jesus' 40 days journeying through the desert, through the wilderness. And it was a time of fasting, and it was a time of testing. It was a time of temptation for Jesus, when Jesus' identity and who he was.
Steve, would you like some?
Thank you, Father.
Jesus' identity was tested, and his motives for what he was doing was tested. And so similarly for us, maybe this is partly why I'm feeling a little more vulnerable, Lent is also a time of self-examine. It's a time when we look closer at our choices and how we live and why we do what we do. Like Jesus, we are being asked about our motives for how we live our lives. And the ashes that we receive on Ash Wednesday, that we'll receive tonight, mark that outward sign of repentance, of being open to that examine and to the willingness to make changes if needed in our lives. So it's quite a robust time in our liturgical calendar. So in light of the significance of Lent and all that it represents and holds for us, I'm inviting you to consider with me the question, how then shall we live? And to help guide us in answering that question, I want us to look a little closer at the text that Lynn read of Isaiah 58. I love this text, but it makes me very uncomfortable. So I just want to start with a little bit of background on what's happening in that text. The Israelites had been taken into captivity by Babylon, and they'd been in captivity for many years. And then a new king of the empire, Cyrus of Persia, came, and he released the Israelites to go back to Jerusalem and to worship in their temple. And one of the things that had sustained the Israelites while they were in captivity were promises from God that said, I will restore you. I will return you. I will turn your darkness to light. You will once again know prosperity and abundance. But the Israelites are back in Jerusalem, and that's not happening. Not the fullness of the promise. The promise has been partly fulfilled, but not all of it. And so they're asking God, why? And they've put on sackcloth. They're lying in the ashes. They're fasting, right? They're doing all the practices to mark their humility and their repentance to God. So in Isaiah 58, we get God's response to their question of why. We get to listen in on the conversation. And God exposes that in contrast to their practices and their outward appearance, that they are in fact in rebellion of God. In God's response, God makes clear that what God is seeking is rather than fasting from food, that we would fast from practices that socially and economically hurt and oppress people. God says, share your food with hungry people. Put clothing on people who need it. Provide homes for people who don't have them. That's what I've called you to do. God goes on to point out that although the Israelites have made themselves hungry through fasting, they ignore the hunger of the people around them. And God calls for an end to that way of living. And also says to break every yoke, change the systems that create and that sustain this type of injustice and oppression. It's a different type of abstaining. Rather than abstaining from food, abstain from oppression. It's a different type of self-denial that God calls us to. It's to let go of being so self-interested and so self-absorbed that we forget the needs of other people, that we forget what God is interested in. What we do and why we do it matters. It's the great commandment. It's love of God and love of one another. For me, I see Isaiah 58 like a mirror, a very uncomfortable one. It's a mirror that I can use to examine my own self and my life. I can hold it up and see, what do I see reflected in that mirror? Do I see somebody who is interested in what God cares about and in the needs of others? And do I make choices so that my life reflects that? Or not? Am I working to undo social and economic injustice? What if I turned the mirror of Isaiah on us as a faith community, as a group of people? I wonder what we would see reflected. How are we doing here at St. Dunstan's? Do we care about what God cares about? Or are we just concerned about us? What would happen if we turned the mirror of Isaiah 58 on our society and our world? I wonder what we would see reflected back to us. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about our world and our society? Do you see a world that cares about what God cares about? A world that cares about one another? Or do you see a world that is focused on its own interests? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Either way, just notice what comes into your attention. Does anybody want to name out loud? Either way, what's the first thing that came into your mind? Tumbler Ridge. Thank you. Anybody else? Housing. Thank you. Wow. The first thing that came into my mind when I was preparing this was ICE, was what was happening in the United States, and seeing people being detained, hunted, harmed, and killed in some circumstances in brutally violent and inhumane ways. But I also see people in Minnesota standing in solidarity. I see more and more of what the Epstein files are revealing. I see that the truth is coming into the light, but I don't see justice for the victims. And I wonder if anything will actually really change, or if anyone will ever be held accountable. Will anyone feel repentant? It's interesting that for these crimes against humanity that are so rooted in misogyny, that the only person in jail is a woman. Yes, she's guilty, but she's the only one in jail. Our Western society is known for its unbridled individualism. Be completely focused on yourself. That's what our world tells us. Get as much money as you can, get as much status as you can, get as much power as you can, get as much attention as you can. You get rewarded for that in our culture. You get celebrated for that. think the challenge of being faithful to a text like Isaiah 58 is that it asks something of me. It asks me to make a sacrifice. And it tells me I have to deny myself in some form if I'm going to be faithful to it. It could be my time, it could be my money, it could be other resources in my life, it could be my life. And that's a lot harder than abstaining from food for a short period of time. I don't know if I can do it. But I'm asking for God's help. Because I know that if we live this way, we will live as our highest and truest self. We will get to participate in what God is doing on the earth. We get to be a partner and a co-creator with God. We get to work for what's true, and we get to work for what allows all of humanity and all of creation to flourish. Lent is an opportunity to examine how we live. And can we live faithfully? Thank you.